me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today it shall be taught from the living Word of God, and I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the other living, precious Word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. You know, that's more than just a confession. That's a decision. Amen. It's more than just a confession. It's a decision that we make every day. If you will turn with me in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And those of you that go online to listen to the messages at mccmelbourne.org/media, we will be catching up the messages online here in the next, this week. That's what I'm playing anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. Scripture says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day. You ever thought about the fact that the earth is living? The earth is alive? And the earth can record something? It can record something. It can record words that are spoken. Did you know God says some things about some places? He says, I curse this area right here. It shall never be inhabited anymore. Only the animals will, the wild animals will live there. Humans will never live there from here on forever. And you know, somehow or another, the soil and everything, molecular structure of things began to change because of words that were spoken. Oh, my God. Now, hear this. That sometimes people speak some things over you. You got to know the word for yourself. And there's some things you got to rebuke. Now, if God spoke, you can't rebuke him. But when it comes to other people, you can rebuke the words, negative words that are spoken over your life. You can counsel them. Matter of fact, I want you to do that right now. Just repeat after me, in the name of Jesus. I counsel every assignment against my life right now in Jesus' name. I counsel every assignment against my family, against my business, against my home right now in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is Lord of my life, and I am not the curse. I am the blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God is for me. He's not against me. He has planned for me, and none of them can come to me. So I'm the blessed of the Lord, and I'm a fellow believer in Jesus' name, and I'm not changing it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I discovered about life? You have to impose your tempo on life. Things just don't happen. If you just sit there, things are going to happen. Positive or negative. And mostly, if you're not imposing your tempo on life, it's going to be negative. Because this world is deep. In negative ways. And Satan is the God of this world, and he's going to try to accommodate you with whatever but yet you have all redeemed of the Lord. I said, you are the redeemed of the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you. You are redeemed. You're not waiting to be redeemed. You are already redeemed. Hallelujah. You've already been bought by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Satan has no more authority over you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, that we've been translated out of Satan's dominion into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been transferred, translated out of one place. You've been translated 100%. You didn't leave a shoestring over there. God moved you 100% out of Satan's dominion, and He has no more authority over you. Now, if He has no more authority over you, all of a sudden, if you find some things that's a part of His kingdom, if you find some things manifesting in your life, say, hold it! That's not mine! Amen? And if you don't talk like that, the devil will think you want to accommodate him. When you feel a pain in your body, when you get a tickle in your throat, say, no! You got to talk back. Everything around you is alive. You remember from school, they tell us that even the podium is alive. Just the molecules are so tight together, they just hold it together. But everything is alive. And things are waiting on you to speak, including your body. Amen. Hear this. There's some declarations you need to make regarding your body and declare some things. I don't care what your mama has. I don't care what your daddy has. I don't care what your aunt and uncle have. See, I only take things that come from above. But you are born from above. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something, hear this. In the light of so much negative stuff regarding your physical body on the earth today, you need to make some declarations and say, I'll never have cancer in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, you got to say it by that tone of voice, too. Because the world, they're always trying to push stuff on you. And you have to stand up and declare something. With me, everything is all right is when you need to shout the loudest. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I said, when everything is okay, when you're feeling good, you need to shout the loudest. I'll never have that in Jesus' name. I'll never have lumbago in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever it is. You know your family. You know what they say runs in your family. You got to divorce yourself from this family and join up to his family. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. You got to get the connection just right and stop claiming what other folks have that is yours too. Because Christ has redeemed you 100% out of Satan's dominion. Oh, glory to God. Somebody, oh, but you know diabetes runs in our family. What family are you talking about? Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm born from above. Diabetes doesn't run in this family. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just can't imagine the Father God saying, well, you know, I got diabetes. You need to be bold and declare, I'll never have a stroke in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My blood is clear in Jesus' name. No disease can live in my blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. My body is strong in Jesus' name. See, if you don't, man, the scripture said, let the weak say something. If believers would just get a hold of the power that's in their words. Sometimes we sit around passive in life. We just let stuff just keep piling up on us. Piling up on us there. Well, certainly the Lord sees that he'll do something. God ain't going to do nothing till you stand up and say something. Amen. Amen. God
God's not going to do anything until you stand up and say, hold it! Enough, enough! I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm declaring my freedom from this 100% in Jesus' name. Amen. You can do this and see how help is doing. Amen. This might be the way I do it if I don't have help insurance. What you got to do is eat. But hear this, just because you have health insurance, don't let stuff come on you. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you got to have a little fight about you in life. If you don't have a little fight about you, things will just come in and take over your life. You'll be robbed every day. You'll be robbed of peace. You'll be robbed of joy. You'll be robbed of health. I see you say, hold on, ma'am, there's some changes going on around here. Take what you're going to see happen. And when you do, God said, that's right. Isn't it amazing? God backed up His word. But who has to speak it? We do. But if you're not speaking the word, declaring the word, what is it that God has to back up? See, many times we call the things that be just like they be. I'm broke. We never have enough. We have more money than we do money. Stuff always breaks down on me. I don't know, I just can't seem like I can get ahead. Did the Bible ever say you say all that? Now, nobody ever denied that sometimes those are situations and circumstances that appear in life. Nobody denies that. But you have to impose your tempo and say, look here, I'm born from above. I'm part of a new family. And I'm stating some things that are going to be from this day forward until I leave planet Earth. And anytime, if you see anything that comes to violate it, say, stop it. Everybody don't have to know what's going on with you. When you shout out loud, stop! People are like, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You see something? Yeah, I heard something. Because, you know, the devil comes to attack your mind. He comes to say, I'm going to kill you. And people just sit there and go, okay, just kind of like, let it go. I'm telling you, you got to get mad and say, you can't kill me. Amen. I say you have to impose your tempo on life. Our life will impose its tempo on you. You got to push back at some stuff. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, my. And don't let the devil take your joy and put it in his back pocket. Well, why can't you worship today? Well, you don't know. I won't tell y'all the stuff I'm going through that's going on. Try to be humble. That's all humility. Stand up and declare what God said in the face of everything else. Writer said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have what? Set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And notice, in your choosing life, it's not just about you. Did you know other people are watching you all the time? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will do what? Draw all men unto me. So it's not just about you. We're not on this planet by ourselves. I don't care what people may have told you. Well, I'm all alone. You're never alone. If you walk out, you see somebody else, you're not alone. We're all in here together. May not talk to one another, but we're all here together. Good. It says that this doesn't just affect you. It can affect your co-workers, the way you live, the way you carry yourself, the way you talk. It can impact people without you realizing it. You know what the Holy Spirit would do? The Holy Spirit would take your lifestyle and talk to other people about it. And every now and then, some of them will compliment you on the way you do things. Someone will say, I never heard you say such and such. While everybody else around them may do it. Great opportunity to witness. Why I don't do it. Amen. You know, I posted a picture on Facebook when I was at ACM 20-some years ago. I'm sitting in the chair in the lunch room, and of course the lunch room was bigger than this place here at ACM. And I'm sitting in the lunch room, I'm sitting there, and I have this shirt on, I have a little toy pistol, and you know, I'm holding it up like this, and have a little captain above that who's responsible for this or this mess. Okay? And so I posted that on Facebook, and I'm sitting there, and I have on this green silk shirt. Okay? There's a story behind that green silk shirt. One day, I'm at home, and we hadn't been married too long, maybe a year or so. And Mary come in with some clothes. And I just happened to look over and I thought, that's nice. And because I'm thinking it's for her. And she said, try these on. Silk shirts. I said, oh no, you're not from the country. You know, I want everybody to know Clyde is straight. Ain't nothing like that about me, all right? And she said, try these on. I said, oh no, real men wear cotton. I still remember the day I said, real men wear cotton. And, you know, men don't wear nothing that's too silky, you know, like that, you know, the real men wear cotton. She said, Clyde, stop being so country. These are for you. Try them on. So they'll please her. I tried them on. She said, look at yourself in the mirror. I looked at myself in the mirror and it just kind of leaned on me just right. And I asked, I said, you got any more? Amen. I've been wearing them ever since. Praise the Lord. But there's more to the picture than just what you see. So I'm just sitting there looking at that. I'm like, oh my God. And did you know somebody told me one day I came to work at KCM? They told me I overdressed. I said, really? This is a prosperity ministry, right? Sometimes I would dress like this when I go to work. Of course, I was one of the ministers on staff, too. So, you know, it's just me. They try to please everybody. But I say, if that's what you like, then dress up. I said, okay, I'm going to dress up. I feel good about myself. And do you know how many times I didn't, how long it was, I didn't have something to dress up in? You know when there was time when my pants come up like this? They were the longest pants I had. We were always expecting the flood. Amen. And when God just blessed me to be able to get some things, you know, I just enjoy it. I don't ever see myself being better than anybody else. I just cry. And I like me. And my wife didn't rebuke me, so I'm okay. See, I always tell them, say, you look good today. Thank you very much. You know, people give you compliments, just dress up again. You hear it again. You look good today. Thank you. Amen. Yes, if you dress like a slob, she'll tell you, you don't look right today. Amen. See, life is choice-driven. Choice-driven. Now, as we are in this place here, we're not here to stay. commit to faith. That we're going to be here for a while. Some people even put time frames on it. Sometimes I'm just real quiet. But I say, well, the last time I expected something like that to happen, it took 3 years. I just looked at them, and I thought, in my mind, I just thought, well, it's not going to take me 3 years. Now, that's part of imposing your tempo on life. Because the devil will come along and say, well, you know them, hey, it's just 3 years. Expect it to be at least 3 years for me. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. That was just their 3 years. And they were just having their testimony. Our testimony bigger than that. Is that we it's not going to take us no 3 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't want to come to a place of being complacent. And sometimes when you're going to move from one place to another place, and you know it's going to be a good time frame, where it's going to be 3 months, then you know you just go, all right, everybody can do pretty much they can do something for 3 months. And they just keep that same tenacity, you know, and moving forward. And sometimes the longer it takes, sometimes people kind of slow down a little bit. Off a little bit, not as consistent declaring the word, not as consistent praying, not as consistent giving. Keep it all up. Why? We are going somewhere. Amen. And I will give you 8 choices you can make today that will change your life forever. That would change your life forever. I said before you, life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Life is multiple choice. And God tells us how to answer on the test. Choose life. Remember Matthew chapter 4, verse 17? Jesus spoke about, as a matter of fact, this was his first message. Matthew 4:17, I'll just read that there. This is the first message that Jesus preached. You wonder if it was really important. Well, if he starts off this way, it must be very important. Matthew 4:17, from that time, everybody say from that time. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say. Notice, he began to preach and to say. Not only did he begin to preach and to say, he continued to preach and to say. Amen. Notice the scripture didn't say, from that time Jesus said. It said, from that time Jesus began. You know, when you began something, means that continuity. He began to preach and to say. What was it that he began to preach and to say? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I love the Ben Campbell Johnson translation of this scripture, a paraphrase. It says, Jesus said, change your attitudes and your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Oh, glory to God. Change your attitudes and your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Oh my God, did you know that the Holy Spirit really wants to invade your life? Oh my. He wants to be in you because you know what he comes to do? He comes to help us to look and walk like Jesus. That people will have a difficulty in discerning who is Jesus and who are you. Think of the Holy Spirit. He is, you go to certain places, you can have designer things made. And the Holy Spirit is trying to make you a designer Christian. Hmm. But in order for that to happen, we have to work with our attitudes and our actions. Amen. The direction of our lives is determined by the choices we make every day. The direction of our lives is determined by the choices we make every day. Sometimes you talk to people about doing something, and they say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it whenever. I'll do it when I get around to it. Sometimes we over-exaggerate tomorrow and underestimate the importance of today. Well, I'll exercise tomorrow. Well, I'll do this. I'll iron tomorrow. I'll wash clothes tomorrow. I'll cook tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. Over-exaggerate tomorrow and underestimate the importance of doing things today. Consistency. And, you know, for the most part, people just like to, they don't like to really be consistent. I love something the former Cowboy coach Tom Landry said. He said, I must make my players do what they don't want to do so that they can become what they want to be. I must make my players do what they don't want to do. Everybody want to be great, but everybody don't want to do what it takes to be great. Now, when they do it, oh, man, they love it. But sometimes you hate the process. Learn to love the process because it's in your best interest. It's not just, why should I get up and pray every day? Because it's in your best interest. Why should I read the Bible? Because it's in your best interest. Why should I love my mate? Because it's in your best interest. Amen. The direction of our lives is determined by the choices we make every day. They accumulate and add up to our ultimate destiny. Here are 8 choices you can make, choices that will create for you a life of abundance and prosperity in all areas of life. Number one, choose to grow personally. Choose to grow personally. This sounds simple, but many people only wish to grow personally. They never choose to grow by taking action, such as actually exercising, such as actually saving more money. We have to make a decision to be the person who is on the never-ending journey of personal growth. One of the challenges I have at our home is my library is too large for my house. My reading library, my video library. Now, here's the, I don't just have a bunch of junk. I have stuff that will add value to me, that would make me or anybody else that partake of it a better person. You know, a lot of stuff that they have nowadays, you go find on the shelves in the grocery store or bookstore or whatever. A lot of it's a bunch of junk. Doesn't add any value to you. Won't build you up. Won't take you to the next level. Won't make you a better person. You have to be discerning as to what you put in you, what you read, what you listen to, what you watch. You have to be discerning about that. Everybody want to be rich, but everybody don't want to do what it takes to get rich. Did you know they said the average millionaire works 14 hours a day? The average person in America works 8 hours a day, and they're trying to cut that down. Then they're talking about the rich people. But rich people know that in order to stay where they are, they got to keep going. You know one thing I discovered in life? You can be 50% of the people by showing up. You can beat another 40% by working hard. But that top 10% is a dog fight. Oh, you want to be in business, huh? It's more than just about English single about it. You got to do more. Sometimes you got to burn the midnight oil. Somebody said, well, I need at least 12 hours of sleep. And they're adamant about it, too. Well, it's okay if you're Pavarotti. You know the guy that was the opera singer? They used to sleep 11 hours a day. But look at his voice. He got paid for his voice. Did you get paid for your voice and your 12 hours of sleep? Number one, choose to grow personal. Number two, choose to always treat others right. We come across all sorts of people, many of whom would treat us poorly. We can choose to treat them right no matter how they treat us. When they lie, we will tell the truth. When they cheat, we will play by the rules. We may get the short end of the stick sometimes, but in the long run, we will win. And most importantly, we will be able to sleep at night because you treat other people right. Number three, choose to break a bad habit. Take the big one first. Somebody says, I don't have it. That's the first one, you lie. Somebody says, you know, I really tried to change, you know. And I've been accused of my biggest sin, biggest thing in life that I have to deal with it is exaggeration. And while God said, I've cried an ocean of tears over it. You have to tackle it head on. If you don't know what it is, ask your friend. You know your friend, know your weaknesses. And sometimes they'll tell you every now and then. Now, it's good to have a friend that'll tell you your weaknesses and they remain your friend. And hopefully, you can handle it. And you won't be like that guy said in the movie, you can't handle the truth. Spend every effort to break that habit. Forget about the others, as you will get to them later. The other habits that you have, bad habits. Stop smoking. Perhaps stop smoking. How about getting out of debt? How about losing some excess weight? People make excuses, all kinds of excuses. Well, you know, it kind of runs in our family. All our family will be bold. This one guy, he said, you know what? I'm just tired of living. I'm just going to kill myself. I'm going to run myself to death. So he started running. And just kept running and running and running and running and running, running until he passed out. When he came to, but that was pretty good, so he kept running out of habit. Amen. Number four, choose to work smarter. Many people I see, they feel like their life is out of balance. One of the first things, you should ask yourself is how much time are you wasting at work, which makes you work longer. I believe we got to get something, just get after it. You can take too many breaks. You work for the government or something. Yeah, 12 hours, 12 breaks a day. You don't need no 12 breaks a day. And 12, 20 minute breaks. Then on top of that, an hour for lunch. Yeah. Where the government will take care of us as long as we just show up. Listen, you are better than that. Amen. Thank God for the job for the government, but I'm telling you, you can do a whole lot more. And you can make a whole lot more. Amen. You're not going to get rich working for the government. If you keep procrastinating, you'll throw everything else into chaos. Because you never get around to it. getting your work done by diligently working in the time you have will free your life up extraordinarily. You have more time on your hands. You know, I thank God, you know, when I was just a kid, my mom and I, I'm the oldest of 7 kids, we had chores to do. And before we could go play and all these other things, we had to do these chores first. And it's amazing if you can cop a good attitude and go ahead and do the chores, it's amazing how much time you had to go play and do what you want to do. But if you, as you say, a sourpuss about it, and always complaining and whining, it just seems like you never really get to go play and enjoy yourself. So you're just a mess. And you think everybody else is the problem. Number four, choose to work hard. Number five, choose to see your work as a way to help others and not just a way to get money. Choose to see your work as a way to help others and not just a way to make money. If you put your heart into helping others, the money will most assuredly come. Spend time helping others grow and your finances will grow with it. Other people. Love what you do and do what you love. I don't know what I do. Why are you doing it? Just for money. Well, you'd be miserable. The money never satisfied. You can ask a lot of things, but you're never satisfied on the inside. Number six, choose to become balanced spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Choose to become balanced. Our lives are best when we have these major areas in balance. We spoke, I think, a couple months ago at the church about the 5 F's that a great theologian by the name of Rusty Cooper told us about. The 5 F's. Number one was faith. Faith. Number two, family. Number three, four, finances, and number five, friends. People jump at one. Say, friends at last? Yep, you know how much how often friends can keep you from getting to greatness. If people are not going in the same direction you're going in, they will, you can waste a lot of time. Family. Faith. Family. Come to co-finances. Because if you ain't healthy, you can't work. But I tell you, well, people going to work anyway. It's amazing. People, they may not come to church when they don't feel good, but when it comes to going to work, they're going to work. I don't care if it's raining or snowing or whatever. They'll drag themselves out of their bed. They'll go over there and just barely move. Why? I gotta go get that money. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You gotta get your priorities right. But most people, they choose that mammon first. Your riches. I gotta go get it. And some even put bumper stickers on their car. I owe so often work. I go. Spend some time cultivating your spiritual life. Become emotionally healthy and physically fit. Let's all go back to choices. Number seven, choose to sow more than you reap. There are many takers in this world, but our lives will be better as we become givers. Remember in the book of Acts, it said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But I'm telling you, the quickest way to shut down the receiving part is just become a hoarder. You just hoard everything. God created your life to be a river. the Dead Sea. Everything go in and nothing goes out. Somebody say, I'm a river for God. Amen. The world will become better as we become givers. Give away your time. Give away your money. Give away your love. Let me tell you these things about giving. When you give, when you sow, number one, you reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. And number three, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and you reap more than what you sow. I thought you were crucified with Christ. I thought you died with him. You were buried with him. How come all of a sudden you become alive to your flesh? I'm going to do what I want to do. Do what you want to do, and you're going to live a life whereby you are not satisfied. You have to include others in your life. And it's so such a blessing to be able to serve others. Bless others. You ever give compliments? Not to somebody you just want to get something from. Amen. Sometimes our compliments can be self-serving. Well, compliment regardless. You know, you can compliment everybody. Guys, you can compliment everybody, not just the pretty women. Everybody has some good qualities about them. Some you have to look for more than others. But. Number eight, choose to. Talk about choices. Choose to get home and have dinner with your family more often. Without your iPod, your iPad, looking TV on. When you talk to one another. Remember, we used to do that? The family is the most important group of people you will ever belong to. Make a decision today to grow in your relationship with your parents, your siblings, your spouse, children. This is one choice you will never regret. Dwight Eisenhower made this comment. He said, the history of free man is never written by chance. But by choice, their choice. The history of free men is never written by chance, but by choice, their choice. Remember, the scripture said, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. That both you and your descendants may live. You know, we've been very interested. Many of you have never met our son, Doug. Doug came by the house the other day. He's been working down in Miami. His life is interesting. When I was traveling before I started, I always wanted Doug to travel with me. Doug just wanted to be a homebody. He didn't want to go nowhere. I just like being at home. I said, Doug. All your friends said, man, I wish I could travel with my dad. I wish I could go to these places and all this. I just got to force it. Letting that, he was over the door at any time, you know. And so, I find now, Doug is 34. And then he just realized some things in life that come down to choices. Life goes a whole lot easier, smoother, when you just make some choices that sometimes you may not want to do something, but you just do it. Somebody else asked you to. And I post things on Facebook, he comments. He said, well, my dad is the best dad in the world. He said yesterday, he said, Dad, it was so great seeing you on Friday. And I said, I called him Grandpapa. top of the dad loves you. He said, I love you too. Not just on Facebook, you know. You know what you get where you can't wait. Sometimes it's not the way, number one way you would choose to communicate. Sometimes you gotta get on that level. And that's his level, and I can get that on that level too. Praise the Lord. I like, you know, getting close to hugging and all this. He came over one of his friends. I'm hugging him and all that, you know. He's trying to stand there looking at him like, traveling, man, he has a job that requires that he travels. I think the job covers three states. And it's interesting, too. You know, sometimes you can never tell how great, what a good job you've done in raising kids. Until you see them get their kids. I watched them, man. I see Emma, her two daughters, man. I say she's an actual mother. She's a blessing. I can't wait to spend a year married and to observe him. I already have an inkling of what he's going to be like. And the picture I told you I posted on Facebook with that silk shirt on, he comes on that comment. He said, no, that's not me. That's my dad. Because all his friends say, you and your dad look so much alike. He said, yeah, that's what they always say. I mean, it's a positive thing for him. A lot of times people say, well, you look like your dad, you look like your mom. They try to do everything opposite of that. I love me some dad. And of course, you know, man, one time when I was living over in Tampa, these are choices we make. One day, we just living over in Tampa, so we went over there, and, well, we took him shopping. We just take shopping anywhere. We took him to Neiman Marcus and bought him suit, tie, shirt, shoes, and everything. Boy, you just see smile on his face. That's my day. And, you know, when he dressed up, he looked better than me when he dressed up. He's sharp. And so, I have an image of him that I see. I have to let him work on his image, the way he sees it. I just be me, and I just let him be him, and let the Holy Spirit work with him. But what we are doing in the decisions that we make, that's more than just us. But other people watching you. Amen. They're watching to see if this is really true. Are you really going to be consistent, or are you just going to tell everybody else to be consistent? Are you really going to love your wife, or are you just tell everybody else to love your wife? I always tell people, you don't have to ask me if I love my wife. Go ask her if she thinks I love her. She can answer for herself. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Man, she tells me what a good job I do. And that just makes me want to do even more. Praise the Lord. I wish everybody treated their wife like I treat my wife. I don't know how you treat your wife, but I'm just saying that. If it did, it'd be a beautiful world. Amen. And the wives would be so happy. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let me get back to the scripture. Choices that we make every day revolutionize our lives. Give more. I want to pray more. I want to help more than I've ever done. And I'm not going to allow this brief intermission here in between where we are and where we're going to affect that in any way. Amen. If anything, I want to turn it up. Praise the Lord. I said, if anything, I'm going to turn it up. Glory to God.